Bandwidth for MacBreak Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
You're listening to MacBreak Tech. Renew your Mac to new. Well, like new. We now join a conversation already in progress.
It's going off. All right, it's off.
All right. Either way. Oop.
The rodent. Hey, that laser went in my eye.
It's not a laser.
It's an LED.
It's a LED, I'm pretty sure.
Better be a LED, otherwise I'm...
I'm going to be blind.
Otherwise I'm going to have no eyes to be able to read.
Read.
Speaking of lasers, have you seen...
lasers.
Speaking of lasers, have you seen that new keyboard?
The new Bluetooth one?
No, the Razer Thin Apple keyboard.
Yeah, sure.
Well, they've got one of them's Bluetooth.
Made out of aluminum and plastic, and it's like they squished it in lasers.
Yes.
And laser beams.
There's no laser beams in that new keyboard, but you know.
You hit Command L, B, Shift.
And laser beams come shooting.
Yes.
So instead of being in disk target mode, you're in laser beam mode?
Laser target mode.
Target designation mode now activated.
$50 is the best $50 I ever spent.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because the new wired one's
$50.
I almost bought it. You have it here?
Yeah, there's five of them here.
The new keyboard?
Yeah.
So you like the squishy keys?
It's awesome.
Really?
Yeah. No, there's a couple of things. So my wrists aren't feeling like they're up as much, and the keyboard feels like my PowerBook or my MacBook or the other, you know, the other keyboards.
That's a good thing.
And that's a good thing because, you know, I'm so centric toward a notebook world that when I go to a desktop, I feel... It's all strange.
Angly.
but even worse was the old white keyboards get all gunged up.
Well, that's true
about that.
And so then it becomes nearly impossible to type on this thing. You're typing and it's like, why am I getting stuck? Mm-hmm. And then you get frustrated and you're like, oh, I keep having to spell check all these words because I keep missing characters as I'm typing.
Won't this get gunged up too?
I don't know. It's $50, you know? It's just like the last $50 I spent on these white keyboards. So the idea being, if I want a new Mac, if I want to have the idea of a new Mac, I buy a new keyboard. You know? And instead
you
of spending
a mouse into that?
Oh, then you
yeah, exactly. Then you have that new computer feel with the same old computer that you always had. Yeah. And it really makes a difference. It's like, oh, hey, it all feels new again.
Does this new keyboard make my computer go faster? It seems like it.
Does it make my computer look
actually
bad?
No, I had to. So I will say this about the new keyboard is anytime I get a new keyboard, I have to go through an adjustment period where I'm typing funny.
Yeah,
you know, sure. So it doesn't feel quite like the old keyboard.
Yeah.
You know, have to the throw's different, the typing's different, the way the keys feel is different, and then I get it broken. And I'm like, oh wow, I love this.
But there's no there's the tactile feedback with the new keyboard. There's not that auditory though, right?
You can make an auditory thing.
Oh,
you can hire the intern to watch the keys, and every time you click. That's what unpaid interns are for.
I need you to sit there and go as I'm typing.
Or you could have it.
Now, when I hit return, you go ding.
Yeah. That's old.
So. When I get to character 70, you got to go ding. And then when I press the enter key, it goes back.
So as of this recording, the wireless is not out.
No. Right? And the Bluetooth wireless.
That's what I'm waiting for.
It's going to be the same typey as the new thing. So here's the thing. If you're waiting, don't wait. Go get a new keyboard, learn to type on it, and then when you get the Bluetooth thing, it'll be just...
Like I'm worried about my learning curve on the Bluetooth.
Yeah, the only thing with the Bluetooth one for me is I'm a guy who was trained in traditional keyboarding, so I actually know how to use the numeric keypad. God, I have my numeric keypad there. And in fact, that's one thing on the laptop for me that's a little hard sometimes is I want my numeric
keypad. You want a 17-inch keyboard or 17-inch PowerBook with a keyboard on it, which is what he's got now. He's got the Wii iMac keyboard sitting on top of his on top of his MacBook Pro Core 2 Duo thing. You can tell the difference because it's got the FireWire 800 port on the side.
Yeah.
So there's lots of other keyboards that you can get. You don't have to get the Apple one. Right. You can use the Logitech one. Even though it doesn't have the Mac sticker on the side, it still is capable of being of working.
Well, pretty much any USB keyboard.
Except when you get the whole command and control bit.
Oh, that Windows key down there instead of the Apple key? Yeah.
And the reverse. My wife has a non-Apple external keyboard.
There's a piece of software that fixes that.
I know, but... You try getting her to put that piece of software
it's
on there.
For
buddy.
Free.
I don't care.
You can send the guy a beer for...
I'm not talking about the guy. It's just whenever I go to her computer, it's like, oh, yeah.
But she's used to it now, right?
Yeah, so that's, now I'm going to try to get her on the Apple one. It's going to
install that piece of software. What's it called?
No, I'm not going to do that. Are you kidding? Can you imagine the wrath?
The wrath of it? But where is that?
Anyway.
That paper.
Yes, no, I know there's software. You can map a
You can Windows. Remap the keyboard. Yeah. Right.
There's a bunch of ways to do it to make sure that your Windows-centric keyboard flips the control and the alt so that it works back.
But don't do it. Just now that Apple has a nice keyboard, just don't do it.
No. You know that weird, that squished, flat Logitech keyboard that costs $200?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, that's a really nice keyboard.
Yeah,
no, it is.
It's the flat nice ones keyboard. Are good, but now,
The one thing that I miss off the new keyboard is there's no Apple symbol.
Oh, come on. That was
so old
silly.
School.
Get a Sharpie. Get an old keycap. Plug it in there.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's gone.
Well, they don't use it anywhere, right?
Well, I hate it when people say, use Apple S.
Like, well, you know those of us who are back from the Apple IIe days.
Yeah, there was an open Apple and there was a closed
exactly.
Apple.
Exactly. Open Apple, closed Apple.
But you know what those keys were?
I'm not that.
Push button 0 and push button 1.
I know. Yeah.
So it made the Bill Budge what was the name of that program? Raster Blaster. Work really well because you could play with the buttons on the 2E keyboard. Didn't have to have the game paddles.
Yeah, that's right.
Made pinball that much more fun.
Have you guys ever tried an X-Frog keyboard?
Don't even know what it is.
X-Frog. It's the one-handed keyboard.
You've got a. The company, we actually have the company that makes those.
It's X-Frog, I'm pretty sure.
Is it? Yeah. I thought it was...
Well, there's a couple different designs out there for this.
The guys that make the Mateus keyboard, Mataias, which is used as the same key switches as the old extended keyboard and the extended keyboard 2. These guys went and found the original manufacturer. I think it was Alps, ALPS, that made these key switches. And they got them to make about a billion more switches so that they could recreate this amazing keyboard.
Yeah.
From 1986 is when that keyboard came out. Well, it was the introduction of ADB, and they made this battleship. Mm-hmm. And everyone says, the code name for the keyboard was Saratoga, and everyone says they named it the Saratoga because it looked like a battleship. They named it after Saratoga, which was the city just to the south of Cupertino.
Right.
Nothing to do with battleships.
All right.
But so if you have one of those keyboards... and you're looking for making it work again, the guys from Griffin, which is G-R-I-F-F-I-N, make a thing called an iMate.
Yes, the good old iMate, very useful tool.
What does it do?
It converts ADB to USB.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really geeky.
I know, but who's going to get an old keyboard? That's just
well,
tacky.
But I know what I did
actually, there's a guy who's on one of the other shows, and that's what he has. He's like so in love with his old Mac keyboard that he's kept it running. And the thing is that old keyboard will run forever because of the way the switches are built and the way that the keyboard was made.
They were so heavy, those keyboards. Yeah.
The first, didn't they have like an RJ11 on them?
No, they had that? No. It was ADB.
Did it look like
so?
An
the
RJ11?
Very first, so the very first Mac keyboards have an RJ11 on them.
Right, that's what I remember.
Yeah, yes, and there
the
was coil, two
the phone cord on it.
Yeah, that's way old. Yeah,
yeah, I remember that.
Those keyboards were pretty good. Thing with those is that they would, for some time, or they would break, and we could actually take the keyboard apart, put a new switch into it, and then give it back to the customer.
Mm. Oh, by the way, it's actually Frog Pad, not X-Frog.
Frog Pad.
Yeah, okay. Frog Pad.
No wonder I couldn't find it.
Yeah. Anyway.
But if you have a numeric keypad, don't enter your Adobe serial numbers with it.
Why not?
It's a bug.
It doesn't work. You have to use the numbers. I learned this today whilst trying to install a new Adobe thing. It was the craziest thing. I entered the number, and it kept saying no. I thought I was going mad.
Interesting.
And many moons later, digging through support forums, there's a little thing that says, don't use your numeric keypad to enter your serial number because it won't work.
Interesting.
Yes.
How funny.
And then I used the keys above the letters in it, the same number, it worked.
So that frog pad's pretty cool. Have you typed on one?
Oh yeah, I actually got one, and I if I didn't have to jump around to so many computers so often, I'd actually probably use one, because I actually had this fantasy one time of, you know, having a nice Arion chair where the keyboard on one side and mouse, and I never had to move my hands from there. But then again, I realized that was a bad thing.
Then your brain's in a jar.
So you're using a Mighty Mouse. Is that on purpose?
Yeah, partly.
Okay.
I do like the Mighty Mouse. It's not my favorite mouse, mm-hmm. but...
What's your favorite mouse?
Because my favorite mouse right now is the... And I don't know if you can buy them anymore. In fact, I don't think you can. Is Logitech MX-1000 Laser Mouse. It's a
laser. See, that mouse, that doesn't have a laser in it. The other one would, and I would have had no vision.
No, but it's an invisible laser beam.
That's why you can't see him.
And it's why it's more pain.
It burns the retina out that much faster. So when I'm looking in there for the light, I'm not supposed to be doing
that. I don't think that there's enough power coming over USB to fry eyes.
No.
I know that you can cook eggs on a MacBook Pro.
Yeah, that you can.
So this is the oldest rant in the world, but I'm just going to repeat it for old time's sake. But, you know, before doing this podcasting stuff, I was in industrial design industry for 15 years or so.
That's a long time. That's like seven generations of computers.
Yes, right. Well, with Frog Design, who did one of the original Macs and IDEO. Mm-hmm. But the greatest mystery in industrial design is why Apple cannot design a mouse.
Yeah,
they have the most incredible design everywhere else, and they have never done a mouse.
Here.
Except for the first one.
Here's a bar of soap.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. I mean, you remember the puck?
The ADB mouse, the one that was the one that came out with the Mac SE and the Mac 2, mm-hmm. that had the flat button. Mm-hmm. That was a very nice mouse.
Yeah. I guess
but then they cost reduced it, and they put that little crappy black ball version.
I hated. Right. It didn't have the weight. It didn't have the feel.
No, it was all wrong. And it never worked right.
Yep, it did.
That mouse was the worst mouse ever.
Yep.
So it's
No.
The hockey puck
mouse was the worst ever.
Oh, God. Can't believe it. Could not believe it. Still can't believe
how did
it.
That,
I can't believe the Mighty Mouse. I cannot believe it.
I mean, well, the good news is that we don't have to go down this rant of Apple and industrial mouse design.
Great third party.
Because there's all these mice that work just by plugging them in.
Mm-hmm.
The wheels work. The left button, the right button.
Yep.
They all...
A right-click mouse.
Yeah, a right-click mouse.
Blasphemy.
And this has worked since OS X shipped.
Yep.
Right, so it's one point, actually
you could make it work before then if you used USB overdrive.
Yeah, USB overdrive.
My favorite little application.
Really?
Yeah.
In pre-OS 10 days?
Oh, well.
Well, pre-OS 10, but then OS 10, they brought it along.
And USB overdrive, I mean, people look at my mouse sometimes like, wait, how'd you do what you do?
Yeah.
It's all, I have my mouse programmed with like 25 different functions. I never have to leave my mouse to do all these different things.
So one of the fun ones is option click,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
The other, so if you're using Photoshop, so everyone knows that when you're using the stamp tool, mm-hmm. you have functions that you need to be able to do. So you want to be able to click and what is it? It's option click.
To set
the stamp, mm-hmm. and then just click to do it. So if you set it up in Photoshop to do option click, then you never have to do this. You know, you can have one hand tied behind your back and do stamp tool.
Well, and I also, for Photoshop specifically, I also set one of my thumb button to be the space bar. So when I move things around, I hit the thumb button and then I click and then I have the hand tool.
Right.
So, but my main thing that I like for my thumb button on my Logitech mouse is that I put things like expose and all those different functions that are in the Mac OS there. So if I want to see all my documents, I just hit one of the thumb buttons and I can see all my screens up. If I want to see my desktop, I hit another one and it goes right to my desktop view, things like that. So I've tweaked mine out quite a bit for that.
So have you seen the new Sidewinder mouse from Microsoft?
Yeah.
This thing costs $80,
yep,
right? So only $30 more than a Mighty Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
The same price as a wireless Mighty Mouse,
mm-hmm.
but you get this mouse that you can actually put more weight into.
Whoa.
You can put up to 30 grams of extra weight into this mouse.
You can weight it down so it has feel to it.
And that's a, you know, everyone thinks about this, you know, like, well, the intern earlier was saying, why would I want to put weight in a mouse? I'm like, dude, there's a mouse over on the one desk. It's a Microsoft mouse. It doesn't weigh anything. It's unusable, that mouse.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the same principles in cameras, right? We want to add some mass. We want to have it smooth.
That's true.
A similar thing going on here. This is cool. Is this wireless?
Yeah. No, it's wired. It has cable management built into it.
Yeah. Cable management. Still got.
Well, you know what? They will do a wireless version of this mouse. But the reason why it's wired, because it's a gaming mouse, and a Bluetooth mouse has too much latency for the game guys.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. I hear that.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I think Logitech in general has not gone with Bluetooth mouses. They use their RF, the signal frequency they've been using, so they get the response of a wired mouse, but with the wireless. And also the distance they get on theirs. I mean, that's why I'm pretty much a Logitech mouse fan. I hate their driver, personally.
Wait.
You don't need the driver to make the mouse work.
Now you don't. In the old days, you did.
Oh, well, that's
why I used a USB overdrive.
But Bluetooth is RF still.
Yeah, different form. RF, and there's
more latency.
There's more latency. For the Photoshop user, who cares?
Yeah,
for the guy who's driving his day to day Photoshop, Illustrator.
Yeah, no.
But the game guy,
quit Twitch.
It's the difference between getting flipped around to get the guy behind you.
But where's the latency in Bluetooth? Is it the overhead of pairing and all that? Why is it?
You know,
radio is radio.
Don't know the answer to that question.
Oh, come on! This is the
I don't
show.
Know. I didn't look it up.
God, disappointing.
Wikipedia.com/en.wikipedia.
Yeah. Oh, if you're in English,
Bluetooth latency.
But
anyway, mouses are fine, but I haven't used a mouse since 1992.
So you're a fan of the...
I'm the tablet.
Tablet.
Man. I am a tablet man.
But I like my tablet also for certain things.
Mm-hmm. But Wacom, I've been using it since...
So you're a dyed-in-the-wool, always-using-it kind of guy.
Always pretty... I do have a mouse. I do have a small Logitech traveling mouse, which is actually really nice.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make it anymore. We bought 5 on eBay when they discontinued just to have them.
I know... That's one problem about Logitech is that they always come out with a new brand.
Yeah.
And they discontinue the one you really like.
The one I really like.
Remember that one that had, it was the red ball? Okay, so there's the one that's the red ball that's the inch one.
Mm-hmm.
That they still make that one. But then there was the one that had the sideways feel to
it.
Oh,
God, that was ugly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was a great mouse.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
You look like
a freaking alien moving stuff around with that.
Man, you know, the thing is that I have that mouse down in the in Virtual Fries.
Uh-huh.
And I really should, but it's a... it's
ADB?
A, no, it's not even ADB. It's good old Windows... bus mouse.
I suppose you guys have a converter for that.
We do. One of those. But I never bothered to buy it because I was
mouse,
like,
the ugly box.
Got great. I basically use the trackpad on my Power MacBook thing all the time.
Yeah.
Mm. But,
you're a tablet person. What tablet is that you're using?
Wacom 4x5, a little guy.
And that's the smallest one. How much is that? Like
$100. $100. If they made this in Bluetooth, I'd be a happy camper because I'm not a gamer.
Right, but I think Bluetooth, again, is a latency issue with Wacom tablets.
Well, I didn't like Bluetooth mouses in the early days because of this weird
latency issue.
Better now.
Yeah.
I think with they do make the 6x8 tablet in Bluetooth. Wacom does.
Is it Bluetooth or is it an RF?
It's Bluetooth.
But
it's too big.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Well, it's nice at your desk, though. I mean, I love my desk.
Still too big. I like the little guy.
You want the small.
I want the small and blue.
When I'm using a tablet, I want it to be more like a piece of paper for me. So
then you got to get.
This is my mouse replacement, so I like it small.
All right. Yeah. So mouse replacement, you want the smaller one. Yeah. But if you're an artist, you might want 9x12.
He's an artist.
But I'm not a drawer.
No. Drawers want the bigger.
That's what I do. When I'm using mine, I'm using it for design work and things like that. And I want that space so I can get the nice arcs and so forth. Right. So.
But, I mean, again, the subject of the show is, you know, get a new Mac. And I have a lot of people complain about wrist injuries,
problems.
You know, and, you know, the whole repetitive
stress
thing. And that was the reason I went to a tablet originally was to try it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was, you know, at Frog Design, the head designer is Hartman Essinger. He's a, you know, very famous designer. I remember him one day saying, you know, the pencil is the most unergonomic thing if you think about it,
right?
Yeah, but it's just
but why does it work?
Because there's no stress to it.
Right. It was a really interesting point. It's like, you know, all these shapes and these, mm-hmm. you know, ugly Logitech big red balls you're talking about. And it's like, but, you know, oddly enough, a pencil and a pen really somehow works. And so I found since that time, I have had no problems.
I will say, after all these years, going down that path really quick, take off your wristwatch. One of the biggest things that people don't think is actually cutting down blood flow to your arm when you're typing.
Yeah,
it's also making your wrist flatter. Yeah. Yeah. And then the clasp where it's hooking up is actually smashing into your skin.
Yep.
And that hurts after a while. Take your watch off.
Take your watch off.
Well, most people have done that anyway. They have cell phones in their pocket because they're like, it has a clock, no need for a watch.
Mm. Yeah. But so for those people who are thinking about tablets, just give it a couple days, sometimes longer, but sometimes even people can get it in a couple hours.
I do know from using a tablet that the disconnect from my hand over here and my eye over here, it's something I've never really been able to get over.
Get over that one.
And the mouse doesn't.
And the mouse doesn't have that same thing. I don't know what the disconnect is.
Right.
I don't get it.
The proximity's the same.
The proximity's the same. It's just it's a different feel to it. Mm-hmm. Like I want the pencil to work like a pencil, but it has this thing. It feels like I'm doing remote control pencil.
You want a Cintiq.
Yeah, that's right. I want a Cintiq.
Which to me makes.
Now you've used that.
I love.
So this is the Wacom.
It's
display.
The Wacom monitor, yeah.
Right.
And, those are... Oh,
I've never used it.
I don't
it.
Actually own one, but I use it quite often in different locations that I go and consult at.
Mm-hmm. They're like $2,000.
But you know what? I will say, if you're doing artwork and touch-up and Photoshop and things like that, you can't beat it.
I mean, it's fast.
I love those. And talk about making your computer feel like a totally different computer. As soon as I hooked that into my system, I thought I was on a new computer. It was this totally transforming experience.
Mm. Hmm.
So, especially when you're doing photo touch-up, and it's great actually when you're doing 3D, believe it or not. If I'm going into a 3D package that supports it, I go in there and I'm actually moving the model on the screen. It's great.
Hmm.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, just can't quite afford one right now.
Yeah.
Well, here's something that you can afford that really makes stuff work really well.
Yeah.
You have to use USB overdrive to make it go, but the Nostromo SpeedPad N52.
I own one.
Is a mind blow when you have it. So don't try to make every single key because it's got 10 keys on it and it's got a thumb thing.
It was designed for gaming.
Yeah, really. It's designed for gaming. But the thing of it is that if you've got the mouse keyboard thing going on, this actually makes you much faster because you don't have to move your hand across on the keyboard.
I do agree with that. The Nostromo is nice. I bought it originally for gaming and then also converted it for use with Photoshop and things like that. So I do have one.
And
little macro keys or
it's
something?
It's an external keyboard.
Think of it as a mini specialized keyboard.
Yeah.
That really fits your hand very nicely.
Right.
Because it was designed for gamers, it actually has a nice feel to it. I actually have one of the first generation ones. The second generation was a little bit better than the first generation.
The second one feels much more to my hand.
Yeah.
Is it just a keyboard?
It's a little keyboard. It's a
mini keyboard.
Yeah. And it's
programmable mini keyboard.
And the thing was is that it was designed to be used with Doom.
Mm-hmm. Or,
you know, or game like any that, game yeah. thing. Mm-hmm. So that you would say,
for gaming, it's great.
Mm-hmm. It makes a whole difference, and you know the idea that you could have the hat switch on the other side, whatever game you're going to hook up.
Right.
It even works really well with flight simulators.
Yeah,
you know for you know all those controls, it simplifies the process. But I was going to say, if you're going to use this, add your controls one at a time.
Right.
Learn to use it, then add another control. Then learn to use it, add another control. Don't try to say, I'm going to add all of my functions in. Whatever app I use on a daily basis to this thing.
Right. Now, the one I think I know Craig has one
because
it's sitting right there. And it's probably my favorite over the Nostromo anymore just because I do a lot of media-centric things is the Shuttle Pro. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Those are great. $100 or $150.
Somewhere in there.
Best money I ever spent on a secondary input device, I think.
So the Contour Shuttle Pro, It's got a wheel.
Yep. It's got basically a jog wheel designed for around editing. I mean, mm-hmm. it was originally designed as like a video editor's control system that old traditional video editing systems had, but that you could just add on as a USB device. Mm-hmm. But you can program it, and it's got multiple keys. I program functions for all the software I use.
Right.
I mean, it is part of my desk there always.
So you have it set for zooming in and zooming out when you're using soundtrack.
When I'm using soundtrack, it's my big soundtrack thing. I cannot imagine not using it in soundtrack because I've got the buttons programmed where I can just hack through stuff really fast because of these buttons.
For audio and video editing, it is.
It's unbeatable.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in fact, when I first was doing some consulting work for a long time somewhere else and I didn't have it there.
Yes.
I was almost in Final Cut. I was like, oh, wait, where do I go? What do I, where's my keyboard? And I had to actually bring my shuttle. Yeah, I had to take from my house to my consulting location.
I do whenever I'm doing any field work. I've got to because I'm completely dependent on it.
So my only complaint about this thing, and I've used this, I love it, is that I want one that's more pro than the pro.
Yes.
I want one that's bigger, and I want it to be heavier.
Yeah, that is the biggest
I want the wheel to be jog wheel. I want the wheel to be, you know, like weighted. The size of a peanut butter top.
Wow.
I don't know if I'd want it quite that large.
I used the old iMix Cube.
Right.
Remember that had that really big wheel and those big buttons, and it felt awesome.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I've my concern with it is the software.
Yes.
In that the way in which you program it is ancient in terms of a user interface. I've actually talked with them about it, saying, guys, you can do so much if you make the software make it really intuitive to change the function. Right now, it's really
well. And if you have if you get a first generation one, or have a first generation one, you can't program it like you can the second generation one. And you know you have the second generation one because the wheel on top is metal instead of plastic.
Yeah, it's hard aluminum.
It has three indents on it.
Yes.
So the second generation definitely feels better than the first generation.
It's not big. It's not big enough.
Yeah, for you.
I'm going to say this is a weekend project for me. I'm going to go down to Tech Shop down in Menlo Park, and I'm going to mill my own head and my own new case.
And disassemble that.
Take the parts out of that thing and put it into the new box, and then I'll have what I want.
All right.
Sounds like a good mod project.
It's a good excuse to go to Tech Shop.
Yes.
Have you been yet?
I have not. I was at Tech Shop when it was set up at the Maker Faire.
That's where they had the candy, the evil candy thing.
John, that'll be the night you come over for dinner and fix my network.
Too. I know. Okay. Techshop.ws.
Yeah. So you know, the other thing that, you know, we kind of talk about with the Cintiq is a good old monitor makes your computer feel brand new again.
That is the most incredible thing. You take, so if you're still running a CRT, get over it. Why do you have a CRT? Why do you have a CRT?
Because it is a old SGI at the time. I think it was like $30,000.
That's like 30 years old.
Is it purple?
No. This was one of the high-end HD monitors. This is like color-calibrated Sony. It was literally like a $30,000 monitor.
Not anymore. It's so old. It's not even calibrated.
Actually, it calibrates wonderfully. And here's the reason I use it is it has four inputs on it. One of the inputs is actually a true RGB input, and I can run video signals into it. Yeah. And in general, I'm totally not a CRT guy.
No, I hear you.
But that CRT is one of the best CRTs I've ever had.
What does it use, like 1,500 watts of power?
Yeah, it probably does. That's probably why my power bill's so high.
He also doesn't have a CD player. He's only got a turntable. He's one of those
I've got multiple CD players.
He starts his car with a crank.
He's got the cast aluminum platter for the turntables. Yes. So that it spins exactly at 33 1/3 RPM.
How did you know I
had it? He has the little indents on the side so that before he plays the record, he calibrates it so that it's perfect.
Yeah. Because it's magnetic resonance with the Earth.
Yes.
Exactly. The motor changes depending on where we are in the season around the sun.
Yeah, or the density of the Earth underneath
it. Yeah. Till sunspots.
Yeah.
Got to be careful of that.
So displays, what else would
you display, like? We like displays for a couple of things. One of them is that by getting a new display, or actually getting a second display, you can change your computing experience.
My second display, well, depending on what computer I'm on, my primary or secondary display is a flat panel. Mm-hmm.
So the flat panels that I totally love are the ones that tilt.
Mm. You mean rotate or actually tilt?
No, they pivot. So they can pivot on the 90 degree.
Right, so that you can go landscape or portrait
mode. So the thing that is kind of nice when you have this big, wide 1680 by 1050 screen is that you have a lot of room for palettes and other stuff. But when you're editing a page, like when you're editing, like I'm working on my new book right now, and to be able to take the monitor and go, I can edit the whole page and I don't have to keep scrolling. So, and I get more, you know, I can have it at 100%.
One of the companies I worked at, we realized you take three of those portrait or the three of the those monitors, you turn them sideways, you put them next together, and it makes one big full aspect ratio
monitor. Yeah, so you get 1680 times three. No, it's 1680 tall by 3050.
Yes.
Or
yes.
3150.
Exactly. Yeah. It makes a great monitor.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah, it was very cool.
You'd have to like really take the bevels out.
And get we actually found a specific CRT that had a 1/8 inch bezel around the edge. Mm-hmm. So when you put them together, there was very little space in between. It was wonderful.
You can take your Apple CRT and tilt it, but it wasn't made that way. It has no, the heat will actually ruin it. So you got to get either the Dell monitor and both. No, no, don't go oof yet. Oof.
Actually, the Dell monitors, I got to say.
It's really, like you know, it's an LG. It's an LG part.
They're ugly.
It has, it's black.
It's bad industrial.
You take some tape, some black electrical tape, and plug it over the logo. And
no, it's not the logo. It's just the design.
It is generic industrial design.
The stand actually got improved with the 2007 versions of the two monitors.
That's good news.
The 2404 was okay. It had a plastic stand. The 2407 and the 2007 both have an aluminum stand, much like the.
I wonder where they got that idea.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is it has wheels underneath it, so it can go like this, and you don't have to grind it. It rotates.
Actually, the first flat panel I had was one of the high resolution SGI flat panels.
Oh yeah, the one with the curvy wervy one.
That was such a cool monitor. It was. I actually still have that.
There's one of those at Secret Studio B. You've seen it there, right?
I have not actually.
You probably used it.
Oh, actually, you're probably right. Yes.
Anyway, LCDs are really great, especially when you go from something small, 17 inch to something larger.
Right.
The thing that's amazing, I was looking at this today, for under $200, you can buy 1680 by 1050.
I know. It's amazing how fast they've dropped. Wow.
Just 3 years ago, that display from Apple was $1,000.
Right. Well, and the amazing thing now is that some of the HDTVs, the true 1080p progressive ones, work as a good high-resolution monitor. So there's some of these like 42-inch HDTV 1080p monitors.
Yeah, 1920 by 1080. Yeah.
You plug it in, you've got this 42-inch monitor. Suddenly it's like, okay.
That's how we do group surf at our house, is, you know, if we're looking something up on the web.
Oh, that's right. You get the nice flat panel.
That's right. You were there when we did that. Yeah, I mean, it's not that 1080p. All right,
the only thing you have to worry about when you buy a flat panel is some of these displays are cheap because they have a VGA connector. Mm-hmm. Now, most of the Macs that have been shipped in the last, I want to say, 4 years.
That sounds about
right. Well, yeah. If it's 4 years old, it's got a VGA connector. If it's 3 years old, it doesn't have any VGA connectors on it. If it's 2 years old, you're definitely not. You definitely have no VGA, so you've got to go with the DVI connector.
Right. Yeah. Well, and you get the nicer signal that way.
It does improve things, although at 1280 by 1024, you can't really tell the difference between DVI and VGA.
Yeah, generally true. Yeah.
It is true. I mean, it's just a signal, right? Yeah. And the thing is that the older VGA stuff doesn't support that weird wide aspect ratio.
Yeah.
Will displays ever use HDMI?
There are several coming out with that already.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, you have to have an HDMI card in your system, and HDMI cards right now, really, most of them aren't driving above 1920 by 1080.
But do you think it could be a standard someday?
Could be.
Do you think Apple? I mean, Apple's known for adopting standards early. Yeah.
Well, they'll change they will change to the standard that drives the most monitors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They'll also go with something that's more convenient. I mean, HDMI is a smaller cable.
It is smaller.
DVI
carries all the signal data. It carries audio, all that information.
Right. DVI doesn't carry audio.
Technically, and a lot of people ask, "Well, why don't Macs have Blu-ray drives or HDD drives?" Well, technically, they have to have an HDMI monitor because the signal has to be encrypted all the way to the monitor.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. And they're like, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
That means we have to change everything. Yeah, we're not changing exactly. everything to do that. Yep.
That's one of the reasons why I think you don't see those inside Macs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who cares? You know, the idea that you, if you have something that's that big, oh, wait, we just switched to a different show. But if you have some, if you have something that's HD, that means that you've got to have a 50 gigabyte amount of space,
yeah.
you know, to copy that or to move it to somewhere else. Who cares? Buy it. It's $29 and you're done. Why bother with the encryption to the monitor?
Yeah.
To the display. All right. Well, speaking of 50 gigabytes.
Or making your system feel newer, adding a drive.
Get a hard drive. Yes. Get a bigger hard drive. Because
more.
What is it about? What is it about every single computer that I ever use ends up having 1 gigabyte of free space left? It doesn't matter how big the hard drive is. No. I'm always managing that dumb drive.
That's what I'm saying. There's no reason to get more. Absolutely not.
Just keep
what?
It.
What? You mean I'm only ever going to have, no matter how big the drive, I'm
only
going to
have 1 gig. Just face it, John. It's been years.
It used to be 100. It used to be 100 meg or 1 meg, and now
it's always the same percentage.
Well, it has to be a gig for Mac OS. Otherwise, when you drop below that, you start having problems.
You really feel it.
Yeah. No, like, no. Why does my machine stop? Why is it crashing? Why is it beach balling? Oh, right, because it's full.
It's not a matter of getting a big drive. It's a matter of getting a bunch of drives.
Yeah, well.
And it's about management. Because we're always going to fill it up to the max, no matter how big it is. So why bother with something that's more expensive and whatever? Just, you're going to manage it anyway. Mm-hmm. Might as well manage it over more.
So my only rant is, or add to this, is that if you have a drive that's 3 years old or older,
yeah,
you need to replace that drive.
Back up the data off of it.
You know, you guys talked about this in an early show.
Yeah, back up the drive to something else and replace the media because you've reached the mean time between failure. Yeah.
Especially if it's your OS disk.
Yeah, if it's your primary boot disk that, and there's lots of stuff that gets stored there. Mm-hmm. For example, Dummel iPhoto stores stuff on the local boot drive.
Right.
And there's really, I don't know of a really great way of managing that experience other than dragging the file off and backing it up.
The trick is you create an alias for the master folder to another drive.
Silence. Or symbolic link.
Use a symlink. Yeah, exactly.
Because the alias might not work.
Well,
some of these libraries.
Well, actually, you really should use a symlink if you're going to do that because then it's just.
No, true.
But it's going to be done right. And then but then you have, if you're not moving, if you're moving your media around, mm-hmm. like on that MacBook Pro.
Right.
That means that you either, scary things will happen when you open that machine with a symlink to another drive.
Right.
What happens?
It's not good.
You can't find it.
I
can't find it.
So if you take your and move your user folder
mm-hmm.
to an external drive using a symlink, mm-hmm. not recommended, but you could do that. Then
on my home system I do this because I have multiple drives.
Because you're not moving the drive, right? Exactly. It goes to that 500 gig drive, and it's not ever going to move.
Right.
It better be a not so scary raid.
Oh, my home system? Oh, yes.
Where it's aiming that user folder.
Well, I have a Mac Pro at home.
Well, so it has a not so, so scary raid inside it.
Two of them are scary raid for doing high speed data capture, mm-hmm. and then the other two are not so scary.
Scary and not so scary.
Yes.
All right.
So anyway, just the point on hard drives is I'm using
cheap.
I'm using the Weebitech thing, and like a lot of us are. But that's the strategy I think is best. Is just a bunch of cheap small drives and back things
in the Weebitech. For those who haven't played with the Weebitech, it's a great
okay. So poor man's Weebitech.
Yeah.
Because we got when this got shown the very first time, we talked about this. Mm-hmm. The guy's like $200.
Mm-hmm. What is
that's a pricey. Lot of money. Yeah. So you can go and buy a case
for $50.
For $50, take the top off it, throw the top away, and then move the drives in and out of it. And you have the same exact thing.
Well, I actually built that system, but I used it. This is for my IDE drives, my older drives.
Mm-hmm.
I got a full size external FireWire case. I put in a internal mounting dock system.
Oh yeah,
and then I just buy $12 docks, throw the drives in it, and I've got a removable drive system to my heart's content.
That's very PC centric.
Yes.
So that dock thing,
mm-hmm.
there's no reason why it won't work on a Mac.
No, I've designed it for the work of my Mac and specifically. So even though it was a PC piece for like a PC old tower system, it works fine with the Mac. It's just an IDE connector.
Right. So. But for the rest of us who don't have antennas on their head, you guys can buy, you know, WebAtech like I did. Yeah. It works just fine.
Yes, it does.
Well, and especially if you're using an SATA drive.
Yes, which I am.
Serial ATA. Mm-hmm. So if you have an old Mac that you're upgrading.
SCSI days.
No, not that old. No. G4, anything G4, yes. For the most part, is stuck in 137 gig land.
Yep.
So you may have your eyes on that 500 gig drive. It won't work. So what you need is a new controller, and that can either come from Sonnet, A-Card, or SIIG. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Oh, SIGGY?
They make a bunch of controllers. Yeah. There's a controller that they make. It's actually an A-card in disguise, mm-hmm. As I would say, in burrito.
In burrito.
Yes. And they're not that much money. It's $100 to buy a controller.
Right.
And then controller you can comes on a PCI card?
Yeah.
For the old Mac? Okay.
Yeah. And then you can do either a good old big parallel ATA up to 500 gig, or you can get a serial ATA, mm-hmm. kind of future-proof yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Either way, RAM.
Yes, definitely.
All the RAM you can buy. So check this out. I was looking online today to check prices of RAM. Mm-hmm. You can get a 2 gigabyte RAM card for $90.
A single RAM card.
Yeah.
For a
MacBook Pro for $90. Just 1 year ago, that card was
$300 or $400 or $500.
Yeah. No, it was like $1,200 for the 2 gig.
It was a lot. That's why I don't have it.
Well, and then when I bought 2 gig last year for my MacBook Pro, mm-hmm. when I got it, it was $699 for the 2 1 gigs.
Oh, right.
Now there's the pair goes for $60.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, I guess I can go to 3 now online.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Yeah, you could.
So here's the issue is that at some point, it doesn't pay to upgrade your system with RAM because the RAM is so old, mm-hmm. it's going to get scarce.
Right.
So it becomes more money than
right. There's that weird curve where it drops in price and then it starts going back up
because it's not around anymore. Yeah. It just disappears. Mm-hmm. So, you know, check on there's a thing called Deal RAM, RAM.
Yeah, done by the guys that do Deal Mac.
Mm-hmm. And they have they keep track of all the different RAMs that are there. Mm-hmm. And you know, all those companies will sell generic RAM and
certified
RAM, aka the same RAM that Apple uses. Mm-hmm. In the MacBook Pros, it's Samsung is their part, and in the other machines, it's something else. But anyway, the best part about it is they have a money back guarantee. So if it doesn't work in your computer for whatever reason, ship it back and trade up.
Okay. Yeah. Memory.
Memory.
Now, the one thing is, on some things, when you upgrade the memory, you do need to upgrade the hard drive because you need to have the swap space.
What?
Yeah.
What's this swap space that you?
It's this
about?
Invisible stuff.
Yeah.
So if you had a 384 megabyte machine,
yeah,
which is the biggest you can have for an iMac. But anyway, let's say that you had that. Mm-hmm. You bought a gig of RAM. And you only had a gig of space left on your hard drive. Well, now you're going to run into a problem because your swap space is going to be bigger than it was.
Your swap space requirements will be bigger than that.
So you'll need to either throw some stuff away, get a bigger hard drive, or you even better get a new computer. No, but we're talking about not getting a new computer. This is stuff that you can do to make your old one continue to work.
Yep.
All right, RAM. You know what? This was a mind blow. I never thought of this until it was told to me.
What's that?
Upgrade your OS. Because it's like getting a new computer.
Well, it's very much like getting a new computer.
It's like, you know, if you were running 10.2 or 10.3 and you upgrade to 10.4, you get a whole new world.
Yes.
It's faster.
It is faster than those older versions of the OS. It's not as crash prone. Like when I upgraded to 10.4 on the PowerBook, and this was a PowerBook, all the kernel panics that I was experiencing mm-hmm. went away. Yeah. I haven't had a kernel panic in
10.4 has been great.
I would say 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just an incredibly long time.
I've actually had one kernel panic, although I was doing some things that
you were working with those military guys, right?
Well, that was other stuff. Don't worry about that. Anyways.
Like, where's my project? Colonel's panicking. Sorry, sir. Yeah. It's not going to be done. Get it?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the, this is the tip about the OS upgrade. So if you're on the fence about the upgrade, about upgrading
an OS, you haven't gone to
10.4 yet. 10.5 is around the corner. However, it doesn't work on G3s.
Yep.
So if you were waffling on this, well, now you can only go to 10.4.
Right. Well, and 10.5 realistic even for a G4.
Yeah, well, it's not bad.
It's not bad, not, but
even the beta on mine is doing okay.
Well, that's true. Because you have been running the beta, haven't you?
Yeah. It's an old one now, but it still works. Yeah.
So that's not going to be a problem. But I would say if you're it's a cost expense, you're like, I can't afford $129. When 10.5 comes out,
10.4 will drop.
10.4 will be like nearly, you know, $50.
$20.
You mean $20 on eBay or whatever.
Some of the third party vendors that carry it as OEM will have it. So
really?
Yeah.
A lot of
We saw this with 10.3 when 10.4 came out, 10.3 became nearly free. It was like $20, $30. And so it was like, well, now you can get a legal copy of this and it doesn't cost you a lot of money.
So OS, now the thing I do recommend to people, and I know it's a pain, but is to basically do a clean install. Don't just install over the top of the old one.
I always do that.
Really?
I even do it on the incrementals.
I always do.
Well,
I always
just install over the top of the old one?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, you...
What do you mean? Oh, you know. That's the way I've never had a problem.
Well, no, but I've actually found, I actually did this as a speed comparison once. I actually did a non-clean install on a system, and then I did a clean install on another system, and the clean installed system did perform better in the end.
All right. Well, I'll give you that. But I'm saying that I don't bother.
Wow. Right. No, well, the new, I will say that, especially with 10.4, the migration stuff and the install over the previous OS, does go flawlessly because I've done it for friends that don't want to take the time to rebuild their entire computer from scratch. I just install over the top, and it's been very nice. Yeah. On my own system, though, I did do a full clean install. So,
but if you have the time,
if you get the time,
yeah, it's an investment of
a week.
Well, here's with all the
apps I have,
yeah, it's but a week. with all the machines that I manage, I'm not going to do a clean.
You're right.
Like, you know, from an administration point of view, to take an artist's machine down for 2 days, rebuilding it, there's no way.
No, I agree with you on that point. On my personal one, though,
Like if you have the time,
I guess
throughout the time.
When have I done a rebuild from zero? When I installed Windows XP that was a clean install for Windows.
If I have to install Windows, I only do as a clean install.
That's the only way to go. Oh, you know what? When speaking of Windows, I found a really great way of dumbing down a Windows install.
How?
You take take another vendor's installation disk. Uh-huh. So like, for example, the Dell.
Right, a Dell Windows
installer. And you install it on the other machine. So in this case, the E machine. It doesn't copy any of the crap over. None of the Dell specific stuff went over because it didn't see it as a Dell. It was interesting. So I had this brain dead version of XP running on this thing.
Then your drivers would have worked or your graphics.
No, then I downloaded the drivers from the other thing and installed.
You got the network card to work that way?
Of course.
Oh, well. Okay, if the network card works.
No. I mean, I copied the drivers.
Had to go to your other Windows machine, copy the drivers.
I went to the Mac and downloaded the drivers on the Mac, and then put them and then put it on the USB. No, it didn't had to be on the CD. Put it on the CD, and then it was the best install of XP that I've ever had.
I understand that one
because there was no extra crap.
Yeah. Oh, those Windows boxes.
I think, but now the question is if to install. I got to find the e-machines thing to do the Dell. Oh, the problems.
Oh, wow.
All right. Okay, wow. This is a non-obvious one.
What is that?
Upgrade your network to gigabit.
Yes, I agree with that.
Because you
isn't
get
that complicated?
No, it's not. It costs about $100. You get a brand new...
To find one that works with your Mac.
All of them work with the Mac.
What about the airport?
Example, the D-Link thing that I found today, the Newegg had it, and it was $50.
Yep. The D-Link, and I'm a big fan of D-Link.
So it's an 8-port switch.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unmanaged switch, but that's okay. It's an 8-port.
Oh, you're talking about the actual, your network infrastructure itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
I totally agree with
right?
that.
You buy new cables, you buy a new switch, yeah. you're going to spend less than $100, and you get hard drive speeds nearly.
Yes.
From, you know, between your machines.
Oh, my network is entirely gigabit now.
But you spent a lot more money than $100.
No, I bought the D-Link one, which was $39.95.
Oh, cool.
It was an 8-port gigabit switch. Mm-hmm. And then I did spend a bit more because I also bought the Game Fuel, which is gigabit in
mm-hmm.
On the router side.
Okay.
And then that has the wireless G on it. So it's a fast connection. So pretty much my network is it is gigabit all the way up to the point it goes out to my DSL connection.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Other than the wireless, but I'm going to upgrade that to N at some point.
Right.
The full network.
Don't buy that router over there.
No.
And we're not going to name that POS.
The only, I will say, I've tried all the different companies, and I am pretty much sold on Apple and D-Link. I don't like any of the other brands. Some of you might disagree with me.
Apple doesn't make a router, though, right?
In essence, they do.
The Airport Extreme router.
Is a router.
But it's not a...
Wired.
But doesn't call my DSL. I can't have it be my thing that calls the DSL.
No, it'll do PPPoE.
Oh, actually, will. The newer ones will.
The newer one will.
I'm sorry, the newer
ones. All of them will. Yeah.
So I can plug it into. I thought the original one didn't.
No, it'll do. It's the same old airport.
Oh, okay.
So I can have it now hook up straight to my.
To the DSL.
There we you can.
That's why you're coming over, John. Because I've got this little 2-wire thing on there now.
Well, the 2-wire, right.
Well, that's a filter, though.
Yeah, you still kind of have to have the 2-wire bit, because that's the thing that brings the DSL and converts it into the Ethernet signal.
Yeah,
right.
That's what
I was asking, and the airport won't do that.
No, the airport won't be basically your bridge is what that is.
Yeah, you have to have something that converts the DSL.
It's a DSL modem or bridge.
Yes, yeah. right.
So, and that's still required by your network, but.
Yeah,
everything so else.
DSL but if you have like the mm-hmm. Alcatel or the SpeedStream or those other access points that are brain dead,
mm-hmm.
you can use the Airport Extreme to plug into that to get the to do the login.
I see
over PPPoE.
Mm. But yeah, network gigabit makes your experience.
It's it's pretty cool, especially you know if you just shop. You know, wisely and watch your local,
mm-hmm.
You can always find the deals on this stuff. Now, I think that in a year, we're going to see very little 100 around.
No, 100 is going to be around for a while.
No. I mean, just the idea that the cost between gigabit and 100 will be the same.
Why would you buy 100 now? Gigabit is the same price.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I wouldn't even go.
Your Cat 6 is going to be a bit more, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That's the cable you're talking
The cable.
About.
You know, but, one other thing that kind of makes your Mac mm-hmm. feel new that I do every so often is...
Clean it?
Yeah, well, beyond cleaning it. sometimes blowing the magic dust out is not a good thing.
No, don't...
We've talked about that before.
Don't disturb the dust.
But it's a good pair of speakers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know those... and it's I'm always surprised at the $29... Logitech's or not just the Logitech's, but the whatevers,
mm-hmm.
right? It's got, it's the quote 2-1.
Right.
So it's got two Wii speakers
and a bass
unit. And then it has a sub.
Mm.
And in the right room, those things sound amazing.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's $30.
Mm. Yeah. I will say I have a Airport Express.
Yeah.
And I transmit my iTunes music to my full 5.1 surround sound system.
That's pretty nice. Cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
You know, we have one of those here in the office, and the kids take turns hooking up to it
uh-huh.
so that they can play. You know, everybody has their time in the music.
Yeah,
so,
cool.
Yeah, and it was, you know, when the very, they're like, I plugged it in and said, okay, here's how you guys can play music now. And they're like, really? Wow.
Since we're diverting into... Music, did you see about Pandora Jam? Got released last week.
Pandora Jam, what is it?
It's from Bit Cartel, who does Radio Lover and these stream capturing sort of programs.
Oh.
So this is the Pandora little interface. Basically, it's you don't have to launch the web. It's this little app that gets you to Pandora, and then it'll copy it into iTunes for you. But the other good news is that it will stream it over an Airport Express too.
Mm. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I think we have to have an iTunes specific show.
We do. We need to geek out on.
We how, need an iTunes discussion.
Mm-hmm. You know, iTunes is an amazing thing, and I think it is that people are only using it for like 10% of its power.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Talk about a media browser by itself.
Speaking of power.
Yes.
It's dark in here.
It is dark in here, and we're using an iPod to light the notes because those fluorescents are really buzzy, and yeah, I'm not turning them on. Your work surface and your chair.
Oh, yes.
So chair. You spent $3,000. You spent $2,000. You spent $1,500. You spent $899. Whatever you spent on your Mac, and you spent $39 on your chair. Your
Office Depot chair.
Oh, those chairs are horrible.
But I didn't when I started consulting and working from home.
What chair did you buy?
The Aeron chair.
Oh, the Aeron chair.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting. It has made all the difference.
We're sitting in these new weirder chairs.
This is nice. I like this one.
Yeah, these chairs didn't cost anywhere near what an Aeron chair cost. They were $300 a piece.
I will tell you the dirty secret of the Aeron chair.
Can't bury one in it?
The chair itself only cost, according to my friend who worked for a distributor.
Oh, they only cost $150?
$69 to produce.
That's nothing.
True. Anyways, sorry.
Yes.
If I ruined your idea about that chair.
Sorry about the other guess.
Yeah.
Everyone's now getting with what that was.
Anyways.
$69 for an Aeron chair to cost? Well, you know what? It makes a lot of sense because... when you look at the cost of, say, the $39 chair,
mm-hmm.
you know, the, how cheap it is
right.
and how how unfriendly it is to sit in,
mm-hmm.
that chair has got to cost like $5 to make or $3 to make, right? Because otherwise they wouldn't be able to sell it for $39.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, that chair goes into retail and the cost from the manufacturer to the seller has got to be around $20.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, along with the chair, though, is when I actually revamped my desk, the other thing I got was a nice keyboard drawer. Not like one of these things that just slides out, but one of the fully articulated ones that has an integrated mouse pad on it. So, my my mouse pad and keyboard are at the proper level, and I'm not like reaching up on this desk thing or doing something like that. It puts, especially with my chair, at the proper level to really reduce stress. We're talking about, repetitive stress. Mm-hmm. So,
excellent.
Well, and the thing that... when you get a new work surface is you're clearing out all the clutter.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting rid of all the extra stuff that's sitting on the desk.
For 10 minutes.
For
in my case.
Mine too.
Exactly. But then you get to rearrange it. You get to undo the cable clutter behind the desk. Why is it that every single desk has this rat nest of cables at some point?
It's the modern scourge. You know, everything's plugged in. Everything's got wall warts.
Is the guys out of Oregon, Anthro desk. In one of my offices, I had one of the Anthro desks with all the cable control and all that. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was so wonderful.
But it takes work.
It does take work.
It does take work, and it takes a little bit of money. I mean, when you look at the Anthro desk and go, wow, $800.
Oh, but it's such a nice desk.
Well, and the thing that you can do is you can tilt them up just a little bit.
Tilt that surface just that little bit with that. Oh, it's a wonderful desk to work
with. Of course, you can always go get a solid core door and do the same thing.
Yeah.
Or IKEA.
The IKEA desk is very nice, actually.
We've got a couple at the house.
Yeah. This table came from IKEA, and it's a little bit wobbly.
But they have like a $15 cable tray thing, which I put on my wife's thing. You know, so I've got all the cables managed under
there. Wait, you got the cable management thing, but not the keyboard switch thing?
Yeah.
Like, she allowed that, but not the...
It's under the desk.
It's an aesthetic thing.
He got something installed for his wife.
I'm just not changing her work behavior.
Oh, right.
That's what the keyboard
is. Thing is... Actually, she's going to get one of those new Apple keyboards.
Yeah.
And then she's going to say, hey, can you flip these keys around?
I know.
And you're going to have to break open the soldering and solder it up.
I'm not going to do it. Yeah, that's one battle I'm going to face.
Actually, I don't think you can solder those. I think it's this mesh Mylar printed on the...
Unobtainium material?
Yeah. if you've taken a keyboard apart, the way that they make them now, it's like they printed it on a Xerox machine. And it's amazing that they continue to work at all.
Yeah.
Like the guys that... You know, the one thing that you could do, and there's kind of proof that this does work, is that you can take the keyboard, all the keys off, cover up the USB connector in a plastic bag and throw it in the dishwasher. I can't imagine that that would even work at all, but
it does.
It does, and we've seen reports of it many times of people being successful at
which
this.
Which is so weird to think about.
But then you have to remember the order in which the keys go back on the keyboard. I think I would just put them back on randomly. why does the F12 key... Why does it press A when I press F12?
I do not know.
Anything else we want to talk about? About upgrades? It. Keyboards, chairs, OS, RAM... Hard drive, display,
cleaning table. Your screen makes you feel like you have a new Mac.
Tablet. You know, if you clean your screen, don't use anything that is a cleaning product. Use a nice, soft cloth rag and water is the best way to do it. Otherwise, you'll take the coating off of the screen.
Although there are a couple of the cleaners that won't do that that are nice.
Spend the $5.
Yeah, they're good. I use them.
So what's the best? What is your favorite best I'm getting a new Mac upgrade? For like $5 or, you know, the under $100 new Mac.
For me, it's a mouse.
Tablet.
Keyboard.
Yeah. The input devices.
Okay, under $200.
The shuttle.
Yes, the shuttle, definitely.
New display.
See, for me, though, new display is over $200. So.
Way over $200. Because the only one to get is the Apple one.
Gosh. All right.
You know, one thing I did mention that I have here under my laptop is
this. Oh, yeah, you've got thing.
I use this product by iRain that's lifts up the laptop.
We didn't win one of those.
And I like it because it's aluminum, so it matches the Mac. It's well designed. But it's not necessarily for the angle that I like, but it's actually for the ventilation. Because my Mac tends to heave when I'm doing, you know, heavy CPU stuff.
Lots of work.
Yeah.
Well, whenever you're using Soundtrack, that uses all the processors.
Right. So
all the hamsters are running.
All of them.
And I like to wander around the house and sit down and lie down and work. So having this little tray underneath it has been a good thing. Yeah. So I recommend it for people who like to do
for laptop work. Those are nice. They're good.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, cool.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Who are we?
Oh, yeah. Who are we? We take this conversation already in progress a little bit too far. It's
like, who have we been listening to for the past hour and a half?
Well, I'm John Foster.
You're John Foster.
I'm Ken Gigato.
I'm Craig Severson.
We'll see you on the other side.